And hopefully everybody can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are switched off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct and to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before you speak. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via instant messenger feature so we're aware this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. Okay, so have we any apologies this evening? Yes, I had received an apology from Councillor Savage.
Apologies from Marie Ward and Connor Mellon.
Marie and Connor. Any apologies from the floor? Okay, no problem. Any declarations of interest?
Una, this is Jarliff here. Number six.
Okay,
just to keep myself right, I'm a former member of the Down County Board up until a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I was just going to clarify, just in case my papers are, it's surrender of the Ballycanlour Plainfields then, yeah?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, no problem, Jarliff, thank you. Any other declarations of interest? No, okay. So if we move on to the action sheet arising from the SPNR committee held on Thursday the 17th of February 2002. Okay, so we'll just go through it for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, and page 5. And if we can have a proposer and seconder for the paper, please. Proposed by Councillor Howell and seconded by Councillor Burden on my screen. Okay, any matters arising? No, okay. Okay, so the next item on the agenda is number 4, and it's notice of motion of Irish Unity Working Group. We're going over to Colin Moffat. Okay, we're going to go over to Councillor O'Mara just to read out his motion.
I'll read it anyway. All right. So the motion reads that this council recognises that discussions about a constitutional change are now well underway and that Newry, Morden, Down District Council have a duty to consult with its ratepayers on this important issue and the implications for the council area and the wider border corridor. Therefore, this motion calls on the Council to establish a working group on Irish Unity and to begin a consultation with ratepayers and community and business representatives to assess views on the issues related to constitutional change. Glad to get this motion this far. It's 12 months from intended to bring it to full Council, and it's been in equality and good relations since, so there's been several discussions in that forum about it, and just appreciative of everyone who has gotten it this far so far. So basically the thinking behind this motion is that partition was imposed 100 years ago against the democratically expressed will of the vast majority of the people of Ireland. The Government of Ireland Act became law in December 1920 and provided for the division of Ireland, a division that led to 10 decades of political strife, most recently the prolonged conflict in the six counties. The Good Friday Agreement led to the repeal by Westminster of the Government of Ireland Act, as successfully proposed by Sinn Féin negotiators, but partition remains. The need for a One Ireland, One Island approach across our public services and across our economy and society generally has been starkly demonstrated by the COVID pandemic. Partition means that Brexit, either with or without a deal, is hugely damaging for Ireland, especially in the border counties and six counties, with one part of our island inside the EU, the other outside it. The Good Friday Agreement provides for a referendum on Irish unity. The onus is on the British Government to set in motion that process, and the Irish Government should be working for that outcome. That's our belief. The unity referendum requires preparation in advance to ensure that it is successful and to ensure that the type of Ireland that can and will emerge is clearly spelled out. We all have a role in that, including this council. Now, as I had said at the Equality and Good Relations, Sinn Féin's position is that a new Ireland is for everybody. It's for nobody's role or responsibilities or the ideologies would intend to be diminished in any way. We would hope that a new Ireland would bring improved public services, improvements in education, in standards, in business, in infrastructure, in health services. We're not sitting here in council proposing that there's a united Ireland. We're proposing that a conversation begins led by this council. This working group has already been established in Derry and Strabane and has been proposed in Belfast City Council. And again, it would have been a year ago, I would have been taking it to this committee. Only it went to Equality and Good Relations. And I can see why it went to Equality and Good Relations. And I can 100% appreciate the difficulties that some of the councillors have with this motion. And I'll be glad to hear of their views presently. But, you know, just like everything else, when we try to understand one another, you know, we can break ground. And when we sit down with one another and we talk things through, we can realise perhaps that there's nothing to be feared at all. So more than happy to commend this motion. Interested to hear what all the other parties have to say on it. And it's good to talk. So I'll sum up at the end. Gormaigav.
And do you have a seconder for your motion, Councillor Moore? Seconded by Councillor Hyle. Okay, so I'm going to take in committee members first. I know there's a couple of non-committee members looking in. So as it comes up with myself, it's Councillor Taylor, who I believe is a committee member. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Councillor Byrne, Councillor, then McMurray, and sorry, Councillor Hannah, and then Councillor McMurray. So go ahead, David.
Yep, thank you, Chair. Chair, as Councillor Murray has said, this issue has been brought to the Equality and Good Relations Forum, and there has been at least several discussions on it. And whilst the forum, in many instances, serves as a purpose for, you know, creating some sort of, you know, I suppose, it creates an opportunity to maybe find some meeting on minds on things and things that are difficult for us and challenging as councillors. It provides a positive outlet for that. Certainly, in this instance, that hasn't been the case, and probably that's where we are tonight here, because of the lack of agreement on it. You know, certainly, you know, from my own opinion, I've made my, you know, views very clear at the Equality and Good Relations Forum regarding the motion. You know, I certainly believe that if we do proceed with the establishment of an Irish Unity Working Group, that would actually be a great step for the council, and will send a very hostile message to the unionist community in the district. I also think that the claims that there's an appetite for constitutional change are completely unfounded. You know, time and time again, polls show that the vast majority of citizens in Northern Ireland wish to remain part of the United Kingdom. And therefore, the proposal to establish an Irish Unity Working Group is extremely divisive in nature and will only serve to impact on unionist communities' confidence locally in the ability of the council to truly represent all of our citizens. And I don't think that's a good thing. There already has been issues regarding unionist community confidence in the council ability to represent all of our citizens, and this won't help that case. And certainly, you know, as a committed unionist, neither myself or my party colleagues would be taking part in any proposed forum should it be approved tonight. And you know, why anybody would believe, given that we are firmly committed to, you know, obviously maintaining and strengthening the union, why would we participate in such a forum? You know, it would astound me, really. You know, and that's, as I said, part of the views that I have outlined previously in some of the discussions at the Equality and Good Relations Forum. And in fact, what will materialise is some form of creation of an echo chamber for Republican and Nationalist politicians in the council to discuss an issue that will serve as no benefit to actually enhancing the well-being and prosperity of our citizens. So I think we should be conscious of that whenever, you know, making that decision. And there's clearly no appetite, as I've already said, for, you know, for the majority of people in Northern Ireland to change our constitutional status. And to suggest otherwise, actually, in my opinion, is a fantasy. I just don't see the desire amongst the vast majority of people to do that. So, you know, as elected representatives, we have many issues and many challenges ahead of us at the moment. And we have greater priorities, in my opinion, as a council and indeed as a people in Northern Ireland. You know, issues such as the cost of living crisis, rebuilding our NHS and the creation of jobs and improving educational attainment, they're the issues we should be actually focusing on, and rather than, you know, an issue that actually isn't a priority for many, many people at this stage. Or actually our focus should be on creating a better Northern Ireland rather than actually creating an issue that, you know, actually working on an issue that creates division, you know. And say the constitutional position, in my opinion, is a view that's widely settled, and to do this will set us down a very, very negative and very dangerous path. So just in terms of the view of the unionist community. So we've had, and Barra and myself have probably had a lot of, you know, sparring, a lot of discussion on this, and it may continue tonight. But I just would say that think, you know, carefully before we go ahead and proceed this decision, but I don't think it's going to benefit the opinion of the unionist community, because we're setting, actually, by doing this, we're setting a policy that the council supports the United Ireland. That's my opinion on this. And that's a very, very dangerous precedent to go down whenever the council is there to represent all of its citizens. So that's what I have to say on this at this stage anyway, Chair. Thank you.
Thanks for that contribution. Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. There's a few points I want to make just to what David had said, but first of all, the SDLP are supporting the motion with a slight amendment. I want to propose an amendment, and I'll talk through that in 1 second. David hit on a number of things, and the last thing he finished off on was about this council supporting a policy, or setting a policy that the council supports a United Ireland, and that therein lays the nature of our amendment. Barra talked in his speech about a new Ireland. And that is certainly the terminology that we in the SDLP use in setting up the New Ireland Commission. We are engaging behind the scenes with people from all different backgrounds, including unionists, nationalists and neither. And we're having genuine conversations and listening. And I think we did have genuine conversations in the Quality and Good Relations group. And that should continue, and that should continue through this forum. So that's why we would propose that we delete a working group on Irish unity and replace it to a New Ireland working group. It is the same thing for us as nationalists. It is, but it holds out a hand to unionists and others of different persuasions to come into this forum and outline what this New Ireland would look like to them. Now, David, I respect some of the things that you've said there, but you're saying maybe there is no need for a New Ireland. This island is changing. It is changing because of the vote that was taken back in 2016. It is changing because of what the UK government, the direction that they're taking decisions in. Your own party leader, the UUP leader, Doug Beattie, is becoming increasingly wary that the UK government has the best interests of this place at heart. And we've seen that in the, you know, in the last couple of days and talk of a change in UK GB in certain paperwork. So that's all been called out. The only people that have the interests of this island at heart are the people who work, live and represent people here. And that's where we should be discussing in this New Ireland working group. I think that would take away the Irish unity, and you're going out to consultation to residents and businesses, nearly with a predetermination if you're talking about Irish unity, where it only represents one side, but you're talking about a New Ireland. What does it look like on this changing landscape? And you talked about, let's create a better NI, and that's what we should be working on here. That's absolutely what we're all working on. And that's what is being sort of held back by the direction that this Tory government is constantly making decisions. And you talk about rebuilding the NHS. A good way to rebuild the NHS is to look, we're a border council. Look where I live, I'm looking out this window, and the border's 2 mile up the road here. I can see Dundalk. from the back of my house. Repetition of services. You know, if we had these conversations, and these conversations are coming, we could provide better services by talking cross-border. You look at the trade figures, cross-border trade exploding. And you can see people with the protocol, I'm not getting into the protocol argument, but with Brexit, people are forced to look and trade or, with the South increasingly. I sit in Trade Ireland, I see the figures every quarter, and businesses are trading increasingly more between NI and the Republic of Ireland. So let's not stick our head in the sand. This island is changing. Some of us didn't call for the vote that was taken in 2016, but it is what it is, and I think we should have that conversation within this new working group. So if we could propose that it's changed to a New Ireland working group, that gives room for unionists to put out their argument on a stronger union and have the arguments within that working group and go out to the district and ask them without any favour, one side or the other, what their feeling is on a change in Ireland. So I'll leave it at that.
Okay, thank you. Do you have a seconder for your proposal? Councillor Byrne?
Yep, it's Gareth. If he's coming in, I would choose in first.
I think I've actually Councillor Gallagher in first on my screen. Councillor Murray, happy to accept the amendment?
Yeah, I'm more than happy to accept it. It doesn't massively change the focus of the motion, and I think Pete's right. Any warden that might be more welcoming to unionism in particular should be promoted. Yeah, more than happy.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Tinley.
Thanks, Una. I suppose at the outset, I was actually going to suggest a further amendment to that, if to see would Barry give consideration to opening out the consultation to the other councils that would be passing a similar motion. So we've got a food for thought there. He maybe come back after my contribution. Listen, I suppose, Una, I have the greatest respect for and great affection for my unionist colleagues in council. I work well with every one of them and try to do so on an ongoing basis. And this is not about poking anybody in the eye, but we cannot get into a situation where we take a tin-ear approach to this matter. It's gaining momentum. It's gaining growing momentum as the weeks and months go by. And this whole situation has been turbocharged by Brexit. That is probably the biggest own goal that unionism has ever supported. And it's actually going to lead to the reunification of the country a lot quicker than people expected. So I think that the outcome is inevitable, but it's an outcome that has to take 1 million people on the island who have great affection for and connection to the island next door. Their views have to be taken fully into account about how we go forward. So I would appeal to David, Glenn and my other unionist colleagues to break ranks with their parties, because no doubt they're coming, they'll be under pressure to ignore this. But ignoring it is not going to make it go away. So please engage with these discussions and in the weeks and months and years ahead, because before long, you're actually going to end up possibly being presented with something that is the worst outcome, because you had played no act or part in its formation or the shaping of that outcome. So I would plead with you as to reconsider. There's nothing to be feared from talking about these issues, but certainly by refusing to talk about these issues is not going to make the issues go away. So I'll leave it at that, and I'll just ask Barra to reflect on that amendment. Chairperson.
Okay, Yeah, can you just confirm your amendment, Councillor Tenley, and have a seconder for it, please?
It would be the last paragraph, so it's a working group on, I think we're talking about a new island now, on to begin a consultation with other councils and ratepayers and community and business representatives.
Are you happy to accept that, Bart?
Yeah, that's no problem. It was going to be in the terms and conditions probably anyway of the working group, Charlotte, but there's no reason not to put it in. Yeah, I'll stand up.
Have you got a seconder, Councillor Tenley?
We'll soon see, Chair.
I'm happy to second it, and then we can move on just to let the other speakers in, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks, Charlotte. Okay, so next, Councillor Hannah, and thank you for your patience.
No problem, Nana. No problem at all. I would pretty much endorse what David Taylor has already said. My feeling on this is, and this is what I feel like, so I do. I've listened to Barra, and especially Pete, and I believe that this feels like you're trying to twist my arm up my back and more or less telling me that I have to get involved in this. I don't have to get involved in this, nor does my party. That's what it feels like here. You're almost telling me this is what I have to do. We don't have to do this at all. Just at this moment in time, I don't see this as a way forward. I actually believe it will be even more divisive if we moved into this at this this moment in time. I don't believe there's even a chance that there would be a successful border poll, that there would be a United Ireland. I can't foresee it in the near future, so I can. I know economic links are growing, so they are, but at the same time there, my links and my feelings are very much attached to being part of the United Kingdom. Sometimes I think you forget that, see as do. There's a bit of, probably similar amount of people as myself, there's quite a number, so there is. And for to try to force us into actually joining this working group, I don't think it's going to work. And it's because, I think my colleague, Billy Walker, has said in the past in the Good Relations Forum there that we will not be taking any part in it, and neither we won't. I see no future in it whatsoever. Not at this time, anyway. So, on this chair, the DUP will be taking no part in any forum like this at all. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Hannah. Councillor McMurray, and again, thank you for your patience. You're on mute, Andy.
Yeah, there we go. Still working this out. No, Chair, thank you. And again, I appreciate that I'm not a committee member. So again, thank you for your indulgence. And though as it's been referenced a number of times, it was a subject of good discussion at the Qualities and Good Relations Forum, and the good relations was actually maintained, so that was good. Chair, listen, there's going to be a certain amount of juxtaposition and cognitive dissonance in what I'm about to say, but like this doesn't cause me any mental anguish. The Alliance Party don't really support this motion, though being aware of the mathematics of this council, I'm very much looking forward to the invitation of the first meeting of the group, as I assume it will pass. I suppose there lies the cognitive dissonance, really. But if I could elaborate, I agree that the discussions are more continuous and more vociferous than at any time in my lifetime, although I'm not convinced they're well underway. To the best of my knowledge, there are no white papers indicating any legislative process to the genesis of this motion, that is United Ireland, and to me in this regard, that's putting the cart in front of the horse. How, therefore, do we consult ratepayers on an issue of which there's no substantive framework? I am aware of the group's The Ireland's Future and New Ireland Commission panel. With regards to Ireland's Future published documents, I've had a read through them. I can't see any role of reference for councils at this stage. The New Ireland Commission panel does not, as far as I can tell, contain anyone from a public service local council level. If these bodies haven't got to that stage of including local government, then is this motion jumping the gun somewhat? That isn't to say that local councils ultimately have a role. Of course they will. However, and again, and this is according to the referendums on the island of Ireland, as convened by the Constitution Unit and published in their report in May, panel of experts, if you will, the time at which councils will play a role is when both the UK and Irish governments produce legislation regarding the possibility of constitutional change. I fully understand the constitutional position that other parties take,
that is their want. I know that that's the reason Detra, or one reason Detra for this motion is that it's reaching wishes of the voters. Well, in a similar vein, my position is based upon the growing block of voters who are generally genuinely unaligned with which the constitutional question holds no real pressing concern. I know that this disappoints certain members. I make no apology for this. Ultimately, nationalism of whatever hue is a flawed ideology upon which to take a political position on. The final point I'd like to make, and it's maybe been touched upon by Councillor Burns' amendment of such, is there's no mention of any sort of shared island. That's disappointing. It will unfortunately only serve to remove any sort of semblance that the issue is one for discussion and not simply a foregone conclusion. If anybody wants to get an understanding of where perhaps a more nuanced position is in regard to this debate, I suggest they read the interview with Andrew Trimble, a former Ulster and Ireland rugby international, in the Irish Times from last Saturday. I'll happily forward the link should they wish to read it. Despite a slightly unfortunate headline, it succinctly articulates the nuanced position of which I like to subscribe to. So, Chair, looking forward to the invite to the working group, as I'm sure it will probably go through. However, to paraphrase the start of a Martin Luther King, some will not hear what you are saying. Although, if you know the rest of the quote, I'll let you finish it for yourself. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thanks, Andrew, for that. Farah, do you want to sum up?
Yeah, thanks, everybody, for your...
Oh, beg your pardon, Councillor Byrne, you had a comment?
Yeah, I'll make it very brief, Chair. It's just coming back on what Glenn had said. A bit twisting arms up the back and forcing people onto the group. I want to make it clear that that's an amendment that's put forward and accepted by Barra there. Is not because nobody's been forced to be on the group. We're not making you be on the group. It's because we want you on the group. We want to have those discussions. So I want to just make that clear.
Thank you. Barra, do you want to sum up?
Yeah, thanks, Emilian. And look, it's great to hear from all the parties and understand where everybody's coming from. And yes, David and Glenn, we have had many a conversation about it at the Equality and Good Relations, and always respectful and never had any falling outs over it. And I suppose we're just ideologically at polar opposites as parties, and it is what it is. There's nothing else can be done about it. And you're right, David, the Equality and Good Relations Forum was established to try and ease things through or to have discussion about something and to reach some level of agreement and then pass it on through that there. But on this particular issue, I don't think there was ever going to be agreement, because you're right. Your position on the constitutional position of this part of the country is such that you were never going to want to engage in this conversation. And I get that. But our party's position is that we want the conversation now. We want to start the conversation. We want to start the conversation this time last year. And that's what it is. You know, you talk about a retrograde step and damage to the union. But from our party's point of view, every day that we don't have a conversation about Irish unity is damaging to our beliefs. You know, so, you know, it's just that we're at the opposite end of things and out there. More than happy to support Pete's motion, or amendment to the motion. It made perfect sense. And Jarlath then as well. Jarlath, and I suppose if we work out the terms of reference of the group, certainly it's something that I would assume that when we're working and engaging with communities and other stakeholders, businesses, and you would be reaching out to other councils to see where they're at, specifically councils that have such a working group up and running, to begin conversations, both north and south, about how they're going to get on. Andy, I have to just ask you, did you say nationalism is a flawed ideology? And, you know, maybe you're talking about in this part of the world, but there's nationalism, and people could expose to be nationalistic in any country in the world. And to say, to come out with something like, where are you getting that from? In your view,
I will clarify for you. Let me.
Clarify.
Personally, I find that an ideology that I can't subscribe to. I should have clarified that. It is your want. It is a perfectly legitimate position to hold. I just find it a slightly disconcerting ideology. That's all the point I was making, Barra. Thank you.
That clears sums up a wee bit. That's more than right. Look, other than that, delighted to hear everybody's thoughts on it. And if you want to move straight to the vote, that's dead on.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we'll just go to a roll call then, sir. Oh, sorry, I keep missing these comments here. David, go ahead.
Chair, listen, it won't change the way I'm planning to vote. And, you know, when I ask, obviously, when we are voting here, that it's recorded, that, you know, how we vote. But I think, could we outline what the motion is? It's not going to change my opinions, as I said, but I think it's important, given that there's been a serious number of amendments, that people are clear exactly what vote is. It's normal procedure whenever there's amendments to get clarity in terms of what the full motion would be. Okay.
Absolutely. That's in the chapter.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, so we're going to go to a recorded vote then.
Okay, Councillor Brown.
Abstain.
Councillor Byrne?
Four.
Councillor Gallagher?
Four.
Councillor Hanlon?
Four.
Councillor Howell?
Four.
Councillor McGuinness?
Four.
Councillor Murphy's absent. Councillor O'Murray?
Four.
Councillor Riley's absent. Councillor Rice?
Four.
Councillor Savage is absent. Councillor Trent, sorry. Councillor Sharvin?
Four.
Councillor Taylor?
Against.
Councillor Tinley?
Four.
And Councillor Walker's absent. So I have 9-4, 1 against and 1 abstention.
Okay. Okay, thanks everybody for your contributions. Okay, so move on to item 5 on the agenda, which is the Safeguarding Board for Northern Ireland, SBNI, consultation on the proposed strategic plan 2022 to 2026 on equality and human rights screening. And we're going over to Gary Scott for that.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, elected members, you're asked to consider the approved proposed consultation response to the Safeguarding Board for Northern Ireland, consultation on the proposed strategy plan 2022 to 2026 and the equality and human rights screening. As you know, the SBNI was established through legislation in 2012 to proactively support and promote the rights of children to be safeguarded and protected. And Urrie-Mullen Down Council are statutory members represented on the board through Lisburn and Castlereagh Council. This is the SBNI's third strategic plan, sets out the direction and priorities for the SBNI over the next 4 years. And the SBNI is proposing that the three main strategic priorities over these 4 years should be online safety, domestic violence and abuse, and children and young people's mental health. It is proposed that the Council supports all of these proposals contained within the strategic plan and the equality and human rights screening with two specific amendments. The first proposed amendment is that Council recommends that at question 4, which is page 6 of the consultation document, that the word respect be added to the text for the SBNI vision. It is important that the Safeguarding Board for Northern Ireland vision reflects the true value of children and young people, and that engagement has meaning, and that all in society, whether individuals, organisations, parents, carers, professionals, should respect children. So the vision should read that as our vision is that all children and young people are seen, respected, and their voices heard, and they are protected in order to grow up in safety, thrive, and fulfil their potential. The second proposed amendment is that Council recommends that question 14, that crosses over into between pages 9 and 10 of the consultation response, should be that within Strategic Priority 2 at 2.2, that it includes the education for children in the raising awareness of the impact of domestic abuse on children. So Strategic Priority 2 is to hear and respond to the voices of children and young people affected by domestic abuse. The aim it is recognised that the impact of domestic abuse starts at a very young age for children, and it can impact significantly on them, including their long-term health into adulthood. And the aim should include a focus on working with children to promote healthy relationships and to understand the impact of domestic abuse for them, but across the wider peace and relation of their families as well. It is not just parents that need to understand this, but the children and young people themselves. So therefore, the recommendation is to approve the proposed response, and I'm happy to take any questions if anybody has any.
Thank you, David. We have a proposal from Councillor Hyle and a seconder from Councillor Byrne. And I don't see anybody raising any questions in the chat. Do you want to comment, Roisin?
Very briefly, just think it's vitally important that we, as a council, support this plan and the proposed amendments. I think it's on the priorities we'll set out within it, so more than happy to support.
Okay, and you're content, Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, content with the two amendments as well. Totally agree with them. Thanks, Gary. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks to both. Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
Okay, so item 6 is surrender of Ballykilner playing fields to facilitate new sports facilities at Ballykilner GAC. And that is from Alison Robb. You're okay.
Thanks, Chair. Very straightforward report, members. Council had previously agreed that Down County Board could submit a planning application in relation to a new sports facility at Ballykilner GAC, and agreed in principle to surrender the lease for Ballykilner football pitch back to the MOD. And part of the issue identified was that Down County Board wanted to work in partnership with Council to ensure maximised community use of the facility going forward. Planning permission has now been approved in relation to the new sports facility. The MOD is seeking to progress surrender of Council's lease for Ballykilner playing fields. Officers in AHC are currently liaising with Down County Board to secure a commitment for shared community and sporting use of the facilities going forward. By way of assurance, I've included there that this project will not impact on the existing lease to Ballykilner Cross Community Preschool Playgroup. That will be unaffected. And members, the recommendation is Council agree to the surrender of the lease for Ballykilner playing fields to the MOD, subject to Down County Board providing a commitment for shared community and sporting use of the facilities going forward. The surrender is to exclude the land's lease to Ballykilner Cross Community Preschool Playgroup, and happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Alison. We have a proposal from Councillor Harrell. Did you want to come in, Councillor?
I'll keep it very brief. Chair, thank you. Look, I'm happy to see this progress. I suppose, excuse the pun, but this will be game-changing for Gaelic and all sports, I suppose, across the County of Down. So happy to propose, Chair. Thank you.
Thanks, Roisin. Councillor Sharvin, you're happy to second, and you want to make a comment?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. As Roisin says, I sent in a letter of support as well on the whole project, and it would be fantastic. I did reach out to Connor Hockey on this because I was concerned that the Youth League does currently use the pitch at Ballykilner, and by us giving up our lease, that potentially may impact on the Youth League and the hosting of matches at the pitch. So I actually would like that I fully agree that we do agree to this, but that we do ask that the Youth League would still have access to the pitch up until the point that the field needs to be closed off, because that would allow that. Obviously, if there's an alternative where the Youth League can go to, like the 3G at Ballyhornan, or, you know, another grass pitch somewhere within the Downpatrick GAA, that's fantastic. But I would not want it to impact on the Youth League if they can't be hosted somewhere else. So happy to support, Chair, but the reassurance that if they can continue to use Ballykilner until the point the pitch needs to be closed off, and that we as a council find an alternative place for them to continue with their matches.
Okay, no problem. Alison, do you want to come back?
Thanks, Chair. Yes, I'm happy to take that on board and to secure that commitment. Part of the reason this is subject to formal agreement is, you know, we want something more than a, you know, a verbal undertaking. We want something that we can actually rely on. That's why we've said that would be the condition of the surrender. And I'm happy to pick up with Connor Hockey in relation to alternative provision when it comes to the position where they're unable to use it any further. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Alison. Thanks, Chair.
That covered off, Councillor Sharvin, yeah?
Yep, happy.
Okay. That's great. So it's proposed by Councillor Hyle and seconded by Councillor Sharvin then. Thanks, Alison. So we'll move on to item 7, which is Performance Improvement Audit and Assessment for 2021-22. We're going over to Dorina for this paper.
Thank you, Chair. So the purpose of this report is to provide an overview of the key findings from the Performance Improvement Audit and Assessment for the 21-22 year, which is being carried out now by the Northern Ireland Audit Office on behalf of the Local Government Auditor. You'll see at 2.2, the Local Government Auditor is proposing an unqualified audit and assessment opinion with no statutory recommendations, so that's a clean audit opinion. You will see at paragraph 2.3 that the Local Government Auditor has put forward two proposals for improvement, both, and we can advise members that both of these are in progress to be implemented by Council. So we're asking you tonight, members, to agree the audit and assessment report for 21-22, including those two proposals for improvement, and all of the reports are included as appendices for your review.
Okay, thanks, Dorina. Do we have a proposer and seconder for the paper? Proposed by Councillor Hyle and seconded by Councillor Byrne. And have we any questions? Are we happy to proceed? Yeah, I'll just go ahead then. Okay. Thanks, Dorina. So item 8 is Dorina again, and draft performance improvement objectives for 2022-23.
So this is now, members, the look-ahead position. So you will see then that in paragraph 2.1 that we are proposing to carry forward into the 22-23 year the five performance improvement objectives that we had in the previous year as well. These have been developed in the context of the corporate plan, and you will see from the last paper that the work of the Local Government Auditor has been impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic, as has our own performance in this regard. So for that reason, we are proposing to carry forward those five objectives. It is important to note, and it's in paragraph 2.1, that the Northern Ireland Audit Office have confirmed that the Council has demonstrated that these objectives are legitimate, clear, robust, measurable and demonstrable, which indicates that we are in compliance with our legislative requirement. I would point out to you at paragraph 2.4 that we are proposing an 8-week consultation to be in line with our statutory timetable on this. Details of the consultation are at 2.4 for you. And we do think that this should be adequate in the context of what we have done previously. So again, we're asking at 3.1 that you consider and agree the five draft performance improvement objectives and the proposed approach and timetable.
Okay, thank you, Dorina. We have a proposal and comment from Councillor Gallagher.
Thanks, Chair. I'm happy enough with the proposal as it is. It's 2.4, and it's something's kind of come up to me as regards to the SPIC NM&D. And I've just heard that there's 1,500 participants in that. And I suppose really it's just, do we or can we advertise more to try and get more folks involved in that? It's just that I haven't really heard it that much been about, and it would be keen to get more people involved. Thanks, Chair.
Okay.
Yes, Councillor Gallagher, we will do a range of promotional activities around that, and if we can get more on, then more on board, we certainly can. I suppose it is worth noting we do public advertisements as well, you know, in local newspapers, and we will be drawing attention to this on our social media platforms as well. So we will try and get as much engagement as possible on it.
Okay. And it's seconded by Councillor O'Mara. Go on ahead, Bar.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to second. And just with the engagement and the bit like Councillor Gallagher, just that some of the local newspapers just have been slightly critical of how the council engage with them in terms of public advertisements and public consultations and that. So will all local newspapers be contacted in this instance and given a fair shot at advertising this? Carmichael.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Moore. Okay, so that's proposed by Councillor Gallagher, seconded by Councillor Moore, and I don't see anybody else wanting to come in, okay? So items 9 to 19 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of the Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council, holding that information and the public may be by resolution be excluded during this item of business. So if I could call for a proposer and seconder to go into closed session, please. Proposed by Councillor Howell. And seconded by Councillor Sharman. Mm-hmm. Okay, so whilst in committee, the following items were agreed. Item 9, officer report on the request and notice of motion, Queen Elizabeth II Platinum Jubilee Funding Programme. On the proposal of Councillor Taylor, seconded by Councillor O'Mara, it was agreed that elected members approve £40,000 for a Queen's Platinum Jubilee Financial Assistance Programme for 2022-23, and that officers proceed to implementation in advance of ratification of the decision at the Council's monthly meeting in April 2022. Item 10 was request for an easement for sewage pipe at Clonallen Park, Warren Point. On the proposal of Councillor Tinley, seconded by Councillor Howell, it was agreed that elected members approve the grant of an easement for a sewage pipe under the lands known as Clonallen Park along the route outlined on the map attached. This is subject to the applicant providing evidence of NI water consent and to the applicant providing an appropriate map and paying the market value for the grant of easement and discharging council's legal and valuation costs. Item 11, boundary rectification request, lands at Harbour Close Kilkeel. On the proposal of Councillor O'Mara, seconded by Councillor McGuinness, it was agreed that elected members approved to rectify the registered title boundary between the private property at Harbour Close Kilkeel and the adjoining council-owned property at Moore and Espeland, with the requester being responsible for any ancillary costs of council, including legal costs. Item 12, purchase of land from NIHE for the redevelopment of Play Park and Trojan Horse Community Facility in Downpatrick. On the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Howell, it was agreed that elected members agree to the outright purchase of the freehold land at the Flying Horse Estate, Oriel Drive, Downpatrick, from the Northern Ireland Housing Executive at a cost of £6,500 for the redevelopment of the existing Play Park and Trojan Horse Community Facility in Downpatrick. This remains subject to contract and does not at this stage represent a formal contractual offer. Item 13, Downpatrick and County Down Railway. On the proposal of Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Sharvin, it was agreed that elected members approve that Council enters into a head of term agreement with the railway on the terms as set out in the appendix attached to the officer's report, redefining the relationship between Council and the railway on the future operation of the tourism railway and including a commitment to a contribution of 80% funding towards the repair projects described in paragraph 2.2 of the officer's report. Item 14, non-current asset policy. On the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Howell, it was agreed that elected members approve the non-current asset policy. Item 15, support to neighbourhood services. On the proposal of Councillor Gallagher, seconded by Councillor Byrne, it was agreed that elected members approve the proposal at 2.4 for the reasons outlined within Section 2 of the officer's report. They also caveated with a report back to committee should an extension be required. Item 16, Belfast Regional City Deal Memorandum of Understanding. On the proposal of Councillor O'Meara and seconded by Councillor Byrne, it was agreed that elected members approve the signing of the BRCD Memorandum of Understanding and to approve an annual financial contribution made to Belfast City Council, which represents Council's share of the financial costs associated with the BRCD Programme Management Office in carrying out the functions required of the accountable body. The annual cost to be reviewed and agreed annually by the BRCD Executive Board. Item 17, Terms and Conditions Update. On the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor O'Meara, it was agreed that elected members approve the following recommendations. That members note the progress on the work plan as set out in Appendix 1. That members note that the JTUS intend to ballot their members on the remaining items of dispute. And three, that members support the continued release of employees supporting the work programme of work for the period outlined in the officer's report, the costs of which are shown at 14.1. Items 18 and 19 were for noting. Item 18 was Rate Support Grant 2021-22, and on the proposal of Councillor O'Meara, seconded by Councillor McGuinness, it was agreed that elected members note the letter dated the 8th of March 2022 from the Department of Communities. And item 19, Management Accounts 2021-22, period 9. On the proposal of Councillor O'Meara, seconded by Councillor McGuinness, it was agreed that elected members note the Management Accounts 2021-22, period 9. Okay, so if we move on to item 20, and it's the final item of this evening, the minutes of Newry City Centre Regeneration Programme Board meeting held on the 10th of March 2022. The item is for noting, but I do need a proposer and seconder. Proposed by Councillor Howell and seconded by Councillor McGuinness. And I take it as there's no questions, so no matters arising. Okay, well, thank you everybody for your contributions this evening and safe home. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Bye.